Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Regina, for introducing the call. I, too, would like to welcome everyone to this program today. And I have to say this program is being done in partnership with the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care. And the program is called Triple Negative Breast Cancer, Coping with the Fear of Recurrence. And today's program is made possible by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, an independent grant from Merck & Company, Inc., and a grant from Genentech. And I really appreciate their support of this program today. Now, before I introduce our first speaker, I just want to say a few words to all of you. We have over 423 participants on the call today who come from all over the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities. We also have a number of international participants from Algeria, Canada, the Dominican Republic, Kenya, Philippines, South Africa, and the United Kingdom. So this is indeed a global call. And it's a credit to each of you that you've chosen to spend this next hour with us. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And our first speaker is Dr. Shimoli Barote. And Dr. Barote is Associate Staff, Breast Medical Oncology, Cleveland Clinic, Taussig Cancer Center. And Dr. Barote will be addressing an overview of triple negative breast cancer and fear of recurrence and making informed choices and follow-up care. It's now my great pleasure to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Barote.
Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Messner, and thank you everyone for joining this wonderful workshop. I will start with the overview of triple negative breast cancer. So when we see a person who gets diagnosed with early stage breast cancer, they usually present to us with a breast lump or a breast mass that they have felt or a clinician may have felt when they examined them. It may also present as changes in your skin or a nipple area of the breast, abnormal and enlarged lymph nodes under the armpit, or it may be picked up on a screening mammogram or an MRI of the breast. Once we see that, in terms of evaluation and workup, we will most likely recommend a mammogram if it's not already been done, along with an ultrasound. Depending on certain types of breast cancer and the density of the breast, an MRI of the breast may also be recommended. And staging CAT scans, which means scans of the entire body, or a PET scan may also be part of the workup, depending on the symptoms and the stage at which the cancer is detected. Ultimately, the person will undergo a biopsy of the breast mass. And this biopsy is what evaluates three proteins in that breast tumor and can help us classify what type of breast cancer we are dealing with. The three proteins include estrogen receptors, or ER, progesterone receptors, or PR, and HER2 receptor, or HER2 receptors. When somebody does not have expression of any of these three proteins, ER, PR, or HER2, that is when the breast cancer is classified as a triple negative breast cancer. And about 15 to 20% of the breast cancers that we see are triple negative breast cancers. This is relatively a more aggressive type of breast cancer with relatively higher rates of recurrence. And because it does not have a driver protein, such as estrogen or progesterone, or the HER2 protein, for which we have medicines to target those specific proteins, it is a little bit harder to treat. And the type of treatments that we use to treat it are usually chemotherapy And now, in the last few years, we've made tremendous progress with the introduction of immunotherapy to treat this type of breast cancer. The treatment of this kind of breast cancer includes, if the tumor is really small and none of the lymph nodes are involved, then it usually includes surgery, which can be followed by chemotherapy, which can be about 3 months to 5 months of chemotherapy with 2 to 3 drugs. But sometimes we can even do chemotherapy before someone undergoes surgery for their breast cancer, and radiation will be a part of their treatment as well. However, if the tumor is over 2 centimeters or if any of the lymph nodes are involved, then like I was alluding to, in the last few years, we have made a lot of progress with the introduction of immunotherapy. So most people get treated with a combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy for about 6 months before they undergo surgery for their breast cancer and radiation for their breast cancer. After that, the immunotherapy can be continued for another 6 months. So the overall treatment will be about 1 year of treatment. If there is a little bit of cancer left after 6 months of treatment at the time of surgery, then your provider may recommend another pill form of chemotherapy for a few months after your surgery. And people who have a hereditary mutation called a BRCA mutation are more prone to develop triple negative breast cancer. So if this runs in your family, and if you get diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer with a BRCA mutation, then now we have a new pill that targets the BRCA mutation, which could also be part of your treatment. It is important to understand that about 80 to 90% of the triple negative breast cancers get diagnosed at the early stage, which means that it has not spread to the breast, outside of the breast or the lymph nodes at the time of diagnosis. And the goal of treatment is to cure it. Despite this, there is always fear of recurrence, which is highest in the first 5 years for someone who gets diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. And after 5 years, that chance significantly reduces, but it does not go down to zero, and recurrence can occur even after 5 years. The numbers that are usually quoted as an average is that someone who gets diagnosed with stage 1 triple negative breast cancer has a less than 10% chance that the breast cancer will come back. And for someone who gets diagnosed with stage 2 or 3 breast cancer, the chance that breast cancer can come back can be up to 40%, which can sound like a very scary number. But I always tell my patients and their family members that that number is in no way reflective of all the new treatments we have today and all the progress that we have made with the introduction of immunotherapy and drugs such as the PARP inhibitors that we use to target BRCA mutations. Once the patient completes treatment for triple negative breast cancer, in terms of follow-up care, I will usually see them every 3 to 6 months for the first 3 years after their diagnosis. After that, I will see them 6 to 12 months for year 4 and year 5, and I'll see them once a year after year 5. At each of those visits, we take a medical history and we do a full physical exam, which includes examination of the breast and the chest wall if somebody has had a bilateral mastectomy to make sure we don't feel any new lumps or bumps. We also undergo evaluation for any symptoms that have been lasting over 2 to 4 weeks or are worsening over time, or if the patient or their family members have any concerns. And symptoms we watch for are usually nausea, vomiting, cough, shortness of breath, bone pain, abdominal pain, headaches, or double vision. Follow-up care will also include a yearly mammogram, unless someone has undergone a bilateral mastectomy as a part of their breast cancer surgery. And now we can also get a yearly breast MRI for certain individuals who are extremely high risk or have very dense breasts on their mammogram imaging. We do not recommend that we get scans of the entire body, such as CAT scans or PET scans, routinely, but we obtain them whenever we see new signs and symptoms. And a lot of my patients and their family members ask me this question, is that why we don't do routine scans for breast cancer? And the reason is that the studies have shown that the radiation exposure that it puts you to by doing routine scans for breast cancer can be harmful. It can lead to a lot of anxiety sometimes to pick up small things which may not mean much, and it can cause false positives, which can ultimately lead to more additional tests and more expensive and risky procedures to figure out what those abnormalities might mean. And this, and with all that, it doesn't improve outcomes to scan people routinely. It is also important that you keep informing your provider about any changes in your family history to see if you need genetic testing and if you should be checked out for that BRCA mutation. Your doctor will check the bone density or check your bones to make sure that you don't have osteopenia or osteoporosis every 2 years. And recently, there is a medicine for osteoporosis called Zomata that we use for people who start to have thin bones. And in addition to treating their osteopenia and osteoporosis, it also decreases their chance of breast cancer recurrence. It is also very important to continue to ask your team about any new clinical trials, because that can give you access to exciting drugs which may be practice changing in the future. And the most important thing that I counsel my patients and their family members about is to be mindful of their mental health when they are undergoing their period after their breast cancer treatment and the survivorship period of after breast cancer treatment. Almost all the patients that I see in my clinic, there is, when they get diagnosed with breast cancer, their treatment is very rapid. They're seeing all their providers and teams very often, almost once a week at some point. And then after they complete the whole year of treatment, the follow-ups become lesser and lesser. We're not monitoring them as closely as we were monitoring while they are on treatment. And then this is the time where the anxiety and the worry about the breast cancer returning can set in for a lot of people. So it's important to have an ongoing conversation with your team about how your mental health is doing when you enter the survivorship period. And now I will hand over to my wonderful colleagues to talk to you more about the tips and coping mechanisms for when you undergo such concerns and during your survivorship period. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Barot. That was an outstanding presentation and really providing a lot of information to our participants about triple negative breast cancer and its treatment. So it's very helpful. Thank you so much. I know there'll be questions to you during the Q&A. And our next speaker is Dr. Shelley Johns. Dr. Johns is a board-certified clinical health psychologist, associate professor of medicine, and Walther Scholar in psycho-oncology, Indiana University School of Medicine research scientist, Center for Health Services Research, Regenerative Institute, member, Cancer Prevention and Control Research Program, Indiana University, Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center. And Dr. Johns will be addressing concerns that cancer may come back and events that may trigger fear of recurrence. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Johns.
Thank you so much. It is so wonderful to be with all of you today. And I always like to give a quick caveat before I start. I have worked in cancer care for more than 25 years, since 1996, in fact, but I sound like I'm 12, and you all can't see how old I look. So I just wanted to let you know that I've been doing this for a long time, even though I sound like I'm very young. So the other tip that I wanted to share, not a tip, but the other kind of background that gives a little context for what I'm getting ready to chat about is I am currently leading a very large clinical trial that's funded by the National Cancer Institute, focused on testing three different approaches that we have kind of adapted and developed to address fear of recurrence among breast cancer survivors. And the cool thing about this study is that we enrolled 390 breast cancer survivors in record time. And I think that suggests that fear of recurrence is clearly an unmet need. And so I'm so thrilled that the Cancer Care Organization and our other co-sponsors today care enough about this unmet need to put this program together today. So I wanted to say that. So I wanted to start by just giving a definition of fear of recurrence. For those of you who may be thinking, like, I don't know if I struggle with this or not, but fear of recurrence is defined as the fear, worry, or concern relating to the possibility that cancer could come back or progress. And it's the thing about fear of recurrence is that it is one of the most prevalent issues that cancer survivors report. In fact, about 40% of breast cancer survivors in particular report clinically significant levels of fear of recurrence. And what I mean by clinically significant would be a level of a fear, worry, or concern that is kind of keeping you up nights or interfering with your quality of life, interfering with your work, your relationships, or anything else that you find meaningful. And, you know, with 40% of, you know, there are millions of cancer survivors, you know, alive in the U.S. today, and if 40% of survivors are struggling with this, clearly we need to be doing more to give people the coping skills and the tools that they need to, you know, to live more effectively, even with this understandable concern. It's the other thing about fear of recurrence is it can be really disruptive. A lot of the breast cancer survivors that I've spoken with have told me that, you know, that it kind of has led to anxiety, depressive symptoms, even post-traumatic stress for them, sleep disturbance, impairments in functioning, as I had mentioned, and reductions in quality of life. And this is for survivors who have worked darn hard to get through all of their treatments to survive their cancer, and then they're kind of left to struggle with this, you know, with this issue that we do have some important coping skills, tools, resources, and approaches that we can support survivors with. The other thing about fear of recurrence is it can be persistent for a lot of people. It remains pretty stable. I mean, some ups and downs, but it can remain pretty stable over time for a lot of people, even when their risk of recurrence is pretty low. And we've already talked about it being, you know, clearly an unmet need for a lot of survivors. The other topic that I was invited to speak about today are, what are some triggers of fear of recurrence to just heighten people's awareness of this? And one of the most common triggers for fear of recurrence are anniversaries. You know, anniversaries of the date of diagnosis, anniversaries of the day you got to, quote-unquote, ring the bell. I don't know if everybody does that when people complete radiation all over the country, but we do that in all of our cancer centers around here. And sometimes those anniversaries can bring back a lot of memories, a lot of unprocessed emotions. And so that's one of the reasons why those anniversaries can be really a big trigger for people. The other big issue for a lot of people are bodily sensations. So I remember, you know, Dr. Benoit had talked about, or Dr. Barot had spoken something about, you know, shortness of breath and coughs and, you know, pain and things like that. Those are common symptoms that people have whether they have a cancer history or not. But when somebody has a cancer history and they have, you know, a cough or shortness of breath, the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people is, oh my God, you know, I bet I have lung mets. People get headaches, you know, all of us get headaches from time to time, but people with cancer, when they have a headache, sometimes they are all of a sudden triggered thinking, oh my gosh, you know, do I have brain mets? And it's totally understandable why, but some of these bodily sensations, you know, are just, you know, kind of typical for all humans, but can sometimes be perceived as a threat for a lot of breast cancer survivors and other cancer survivors as well. So in addition to some of these bodily sensations, some of the other common triggers would include things like, seeing a commercial on TV. There are so many commercials today about, you know, various, new types of cancer treatment, which is great, but it can be a reminder of cancer on a day that you were feeling pretty good, and then all of a sudden you see this commercial. Upcoming medical appointments, tests, mammograms, you know, colonoscopies, you know, scans, you know, those types of medical visits can encourage some fear of recurrence as well. Even driving in the general vicinity of the place where you received a cancer diagnosis or cancer treatment, sometimes even that, you know, can be a trigger. And then the other thing that's really interesting to me is a lot of the survivors that I've worked with who have significant fear of recurrence, they will talk about certain tastes or smells that can be a trigger for them. So when they smell an alcohol swab, you know, or alcohol, rubbing alcohol, that can be a trigger for them, or even seeing or tasting a popsicle, because sometimes during certain forms of chemotherapy, you know, you're given a popsicle, to keep your mouth cool. And so some of those sorts of things that really don't mean anything to the average human being can really be a significant source of distress or a trigger for people with fear of recurrence. So anyway, I think I wanted to kind of close there. I'm hoping that there will be some questions later that I can help with, but I wanted to go ahead and pitch to the third speaker.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Johns. That was just a wonderful presentation. A lot of wonderful information for our participants. And I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A, so thank you. Thank you so much. And our next speaker is Dr. Jean-Philippe Lorenzo, and Dr. Lorenzo is Unidel A. Gilchrist Sparks, the third chair in the social sciences and professor, Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences, University of Delaware. And Dr. Lorenzo will be addressing living with continuing uncertainty, promoting effective healthcare communication, communicating with your healthcare team about quality of life and lifestyle concerns. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Lorenzo.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm really honored to be here to talk about these topics about healthcare communication and also communicating with your healthcare team about quality of life concerns. And first thing off the bat, I'd like to say that it really is most helpful to you and your family members to view the doctors, the nurses, the medical staff, and you as part of a team. So you really should be thinking about these folks as part of a team that's there to provide, you know, care to you, provide services to you, as well as your significant others in your life. And as was mentioned earlier, treatments for triple-negative breast cancer are getting better and better every single year. So that's very good news. It also means that there are more and more survivors that are living with triple-negative breast cancer as the years go by. So I'm going to list off a few things that I think are important when it comes to communicating with your healthcare team. And I've gotten these from some of the work that I've done with with patients at the cancer center that I work at that's close to the university here. First of all, you want to ask your doctor or nurse that you're working with to write anything down that they talk to you about, right? So that you don't have to rely on your memory. You want to ask about whether you can access the electronic health system. Often there are smartphone apps or a website where you can actually see and review your clinical notes. So when you meet with healthcare providers, often a record is put in immediately, and you usually have access to this. And if you don't know how to, you can always ask about that from the your doctor or your nurse. It's always a good idea to keep a folder of everything that you get from your visits so that you can know exactly what they gave you and what to refer to and get to it later on when you need it. I think you should know that you can ask as many questions as you need to, that no questions are silly or don't feel like any questions that you shouldn't ask because they don't make sense. In fact, if you have these questions, it's very likely that other patients have had the same questions that you have, and they're important to get addressed. another thing about visiting with your healthcare team is that you want to take, if at all possible, take a spouse or partner or a trusted family member or a good friend with you to these appointments. And this is very helpful for several reasons. You know, number one, they can just be another pair of eyes and ears to be able to take in information about treatment or about follow-up, treatment options or follow-up. They can help you take notes, and if they know about some of your concerns, they can even remind you about questions that you might have. They can make sure that you understand what was talked about afterward and whether what you got from the discussion with your healthcare team jives with what your understanding is. And then finally, you can talk with them about your concerns about recurrence that might be coming up related to that visit or after the visit. This is an area that I've done a lot of research on where family members can be very helpful and help to reduce fear of cancer recurrence by being someone that you can talk to about these concerns. And in fact, feeling like you can't talk to significant others, trusted family members about these concerns can actually lead to greater fear of cancer recurrence in your life. So these folks are important, you know, resources for you and can help you at these visits. you want to talk with your nurse or doctor about how do you want to hear news about your health and information about treatment? Like, you know, you can let them know, do you want to hear things kind of all at once, or do you want to hear information gradually? Do you want a lot of details about the condition, about the treatments, about the options, about the side effects, or do you kind of just want the facts? You know, and sort of short and sweet. You can also let them know which family members or friends you want that you want, or that they can share this information with. And then finally, on this topic of healthcare communication, specifically with your healthcare team, you have a right to privacy, and you should be aware of that when you're meeting with your healthcare team. And you also have a right to receive and review your medical records. And so that kind of reflects what I mentioned earlier about clinic visit notes and other kinds of test results. are available to you so that you can actually read them. And I think patients have found that sometimes it's helpful to review those things, and there are details in those notes and in those records that patients have forgotten about or that didn't really come up in the discussion at the meeting with your healthcare team, but that are really important to know about. Now I'll just transition to a slightly different topic, which is like talking about with your healthcare team about quality of life and lifestyle concerns. And one thing to ask about when you meet with your healthcare team is ask about the hospital or the cancer center's survivorship program. These are survivorship programs are increasingly being created and implemented at hospitals and cancer centers that serve cancer patients. And these programs are there to basically provide you with support and services to help you through treatment and following treatment as well. And the transition in particular to follow-up care, like once your primary treatment has been done, once you've had surgery and then adjuvant treatment in the form of chemotherapy and or radiation, this follow-up care period can be quite disorienting at times for some patients. And that's a time when often patients talk about having concerns about the cancer coming back and having some of these triggers that set off these fears while you're not like actively going in for weekly visits for chemotherapy or radiation or what have you. So sometimes these cancer care teams, they're treating a lot of patients. Sometimes they can be spread thin, so you want to be proactive about communicating your concerns to your doctor or nurse. And keep in mind that even once you're done with primary treatment, there may be ongoing treatment-related side effects, late effects that come up beyond, in the year, 2-3 years after treatment. And so these are things like lymphedema or fatigue. There's chemo brain. That's a real concern for a lot of patients. Pain and neuropathy, sexual health problems, fertility problems, an area that I tend to study, relationship and intimacy issues that come up with your close relationships in your life, and then even mental health issues like depression and or anxiety. These are things that can be side effects that really affect quality of life and your lifestyle, and you want to be able to communicate those to your healthcare team so that they can provide you with resources. And don't be afraid of seeing a counselor for help with concerns about quality of life or, lifestyle issues. I know at the cancer center I work at, which is the Helen F. Graham Cancer Center and Research Institute in Newark, Delaware, there's a team of psycho-oncologists. They're cancer psychologists who specialize working with patients just like you who are struggling with quality of life or lifestyle issues or issues about communication with significant others in your life around cancer. And they're there to help, and patients have found them very useful. Even in the neighborhood that I live in, there are several women who have gotten treatment there and told me that they really appreciated having access to counselors and psychologists at the cancer center who really specialize and know about what you're going through. And so don't be afraid to follow up with them and seek out their help. Other parts of survivorship programs that can affect your quality of life, there are resources that are available to help with financial concerns and insurance and disability benefits and, again, mental health. even transportation, all sorts of needs that you might have that that cancer centers and hospitals often can help with that you may not be aware of. And so please, you know, ask about these things, because more and more places are making these resources available. You know, in a survey that was done of, in particular, triple negative breast cancer patients at various stages in the survivorship their survivorship period, the three top concerns that seemed to come up were what we're talking about today, which is concerns about the cancer recurring, so fears and concerns about that. That's number one. The second top concern were issues related to body image and healthy lifestyle, so things like nutrition, eating, exercise, and there are specialists that are available often at cancer centers to help you with those issues and to give you resources to help support healthy lifestyle. And then finally, symptoms and side effects, so things like brain fog, chemo brain, being able to think clearly. These are issues that that's the third area of concern that a lot of triple negative breast cancer patients have. And if you're concerned about those, please bring those things up with your healthcare team, because they can significantly affect your quality of life. A couple of final things. For a lot of patients, you know, the treatment process can be extensive, and there's this issue called financial toxicity, which basically is the financial burden and the costs, even the psychological distress costs, that cancer patients face because of their care. And so there are often social workers who are available to be able to help with providing resources. There are organizations that can provide support, even financial support, for patients who have a tough time dealing with the financial burden. And then finally, keep a diary or a journal of your side effects, of your lifestyle concerns. This will allow you to be able to reflect on them, as well as give you something to draw from when you want to follow up with your team about any concerns that you might have. And finally, you should definitely make sure that you take advantage of the resources that Cancer Care Organization is providing. Like, for example, they have a communicating with your healthcare team booklet that you can actually read. It's a PDF that you can download and read through that summarizes some of the things that I've mentioned and more. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, whom we're going to hear from very soon, they also provide some great resources like this, so you should be aware that those resources are available to you. And I will stop with that.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Lorenzo. That was just a wonderful presentation. Very, very comprehensive, including a lot of issues for people to consider. I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And our next speaker is Dr. Karen Hurley. And Dr. Hurley is a psychologist, hereditary cancer risk, clinical member, cancer prevention, control, and population research program, CASE Comprehensive Cancer Center, Cleveland Clinic. And Dr. Hurley will be addressing tips for coping with fear of recurrence, balancing reality with stress management tips, and using mind-body techniques to cope with fear of recurrence, how to select the mind-body techniques that are best for you. It's my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Hurley.
Thank you so much. It's truly an honor to be joining this group of esteemed colleagues, and I also want to extend my welcome to people from around the world who have tuned in to learn more about this core issue that remains when treatment ends for cancer survivors. So To bring full circle some of the things that we've been talking about, a lot of my work is done one-on-one in the therapy room. And these are those, and a lot of what I'm going to speak about comes from the many years of listening to and talking with women in those very kind of private, raw, tearful moments where the fear of recurrence comes to the forefront, balanced with my knowledge of the research studies that my colleagues, Dr. Johns and Dr. Lauren So, have been working on and putting this together. So when I meet with people, one of my goals is that is to find a way to live with this possibility of recurrence, how to look forward to, rebuilding your life after going through treatment, which can be quite intense, but now with this big question mark hanging there that didn't used to be there before. People will sometimes say things that are not helpful, just, like, you'll probably be fine, when you've now had the experience of getting bad news, those numbers that, maybe one in eight women or, whatever the current statistic is for how many women develop breast cancer, sometimes, you fell on the wrong side of the number being that one. So if someone tells you that you'll probably be fine, that's no longer quite real and true. It's it leaves open that little possibility where doubt and anxiety can creep in. So my goal is really to not invalidate that concern, because you do need to pay attention to doing things like going to your scans, following up with your doctor, following healthy diet, and so on. But we also don't want your thoughts spiraling so far into the future where you're picturing the worst case scenario and then your anxiety revs up as if you're actually living there. So the goal is really to take this possibility of cancer coming back and to make it neither bigger nor smaller than it is. In some ways, it's a fear, the fear of recurrence. We can think about it as regaining trust in your future, being able to think ahead in a way that allows you to have goals and to be positive, to do the things that are important to you in your life. Now, and this is where everybody is individual in terms of their life paths, and we are individual in the ways that we respond to different forms of anxiety-reducing techniques. So some people really like yoga, and other people will feel restless, or it actually makes them more anxious. Same thing with breathing techniques. Some people are very visual and respond well to visualizations, and other people doesn't really work for them. So it is a process of experimenting, trial and error, to find out what works for your body and your mind in concert to bring down your anxiety. But that brings us to the crux of the issue, tuning into your body to figure out what's right for you means tuning into your body with all of these new post-treatment sensations that bring you to the question, what's going on in there, right? Is this a sign of recurrence, or is this one of those normal, twinges that I used to just ignore? So one of the things I talk about with patients is it's not so much about getting rid of anxiety, because sometimes if you try a technique when you're anxious and your anxiety doesn't go down right away, then you might get anxious about the fact that you're still anxious, and you can see how quickly it spirals. So I tend to phrase it as, instead of getting rid of anxiety, is what can we do to tend to the anxiety, to tend to the physical sensations that go with anxiety, to tend to the mental distress and the worrisome thoughts that go with anxiety, to bring them back into a state of balance, of equilibrium. So with that said, there's a couple of techniques that I like to use. I call these sort of first aid for anxiety. They work especially well if you can catch it early, but these are basically anxiety, they help you kind of reset your mind so that you can bring yourself back into balance. The first one I call the breath brush, which is instead of doing a deep breath or some kind of special breath, you take a normal breath and then imagine that it can travel inside and find those little sensations of anxiety. Maybe it's the butterflies in your stomach or a tingle or a tightness in your chest. And then imagine your breath just brushes very lightly over that sensation, like a feather, or the way that you would stroke a baby's forehead, very lightly. And we're not trying to make it go away or make anything happen, just imagining the breath brushing over it. And see how your anxiety responds to that gentle attention. The second one is a color naming exercise. And this is a good one that you can do, say maybe you're in the waiting room before a doctor's appointment and you notice that your anxiety is revving up as a trigger. If you look around your surroundings and then pick out three things and name them that are red, maybe there's a red coat, a red magazine, a red chair. Then you look around again, name three more things that are not blue. There's a green coat, there's a yellow sweater, and a brown shoe. By giving your mind something to do in that way, that helps move the anxiety out of those nonverbal anxiety centers in the brain that are firing away and moves us up into more the organizational part of the brain, the verbal part of the brain that can help you find a more neutral space. Most important is to find things that you can say to yourself that are real and true to speak to your anxiety. Things like, I'm doing everything I can to protect my health. I'm in good hands with my care team, no matter what happens. I have lots of support around me. I trust my body to tell me what it needs and can give that to my body. And you can work with different kinds of phrases to find one that is real and true for you. So, you know, basically what we're trying to do is to rebuild a sense of trust in your body and also in your future to be able to look forward with confidence to recover your sense that after being in treatment, being limited, not being able to do all the things that you want to do, to determine what is important to you now and to be able to go out and do them and have that be your main focus. So thank you very much for your kind attention, and I will turn this back to the team.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Hurley. That was a wonderful presentation, full of a lot of things that will be very helpful to people and really coping with fear of a recurrence, lots of ideas that people can implement. And I know there will be questions to you during the Q&A as well, so thank you so much. And our next speaker is Ms. Haley Dinneman, and Ms. Dinneman is a lawyer by profession. She's also co-founder and executive director of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and a great supporter of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer community, offering many, many different types of programs for the community, for the Triple Negative Breast Cancer community. and Ms. Dinneman will be addressing the three programs and services of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, and will provide you how to reach them on the telephone and their website as well. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague and partner on today's program, Ms. Dinneman.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, for the kind introduction. Today's teleconference is one of many programs offered by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. All our programming is specifically designed to address the needs of the triple negative community, and fear of recurrence is a huge factor in our community. So we try to address it in many of our programs, including this one. Today, I'd like to highlight a few of our other offerings. First, we have many TNBC-specific educational materials that are available in print or as free downloads from our website. These materials have special sections addressing issues that are important to you, like fear of recurrence. Our website, tnbcfoundation.org, offers two free and TNBC-specific clinical trials matching services. Our website also offers a news section and online discussion forums. We also host private TNBC Foundation Facebook groups. These groups allow you to easily connect with thousands of women who are living with TNBC. People use our forums and our private Facebook groups to ask questions about treatment, how to manage side effects, and how to live your best life after treatment. But most importantly, our online forums and groups offer consistent support. You can even join anonymously if you like, and these resources are here to help you and to remind you that you are not alone. We also offer three regularly scheduled monthly meetups on Zoom: Metastatic Mondays, Tuesdays with TNBC Friends, and Thriver Thursdays. These meetups also offer incredible support and opportunities to connect, to share experiences, and to build friendships. You can sign up for our next meetups on tnbcfoundation.org. Our other upcoming events and programs include our virtual 5K in October and a variety of educational programs surrounding the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium in December. If you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, or visit our website, you'll get regular updates and be able to register for these and all our other upcoming programs. In the meantime, we look forward to connecting with you on social media, by phone, or online. So once again, thank you for joining us, and I'll now turn the program back to Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Dinneman. And what a wonderful organization the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation is, and offers a tremendous amount of programming. If you just go to their website, or you'll see just everything that they offer. So thank you so much. And our next speaker is Ms. Cassie Spector. She's an oncology social worker. She's a breast and gynecological cancers program coordinator at Cancer Care, and she'll be addressing the three programs and services for people living with Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and their loved ones, and we'll talk about the Hope Line and our website as well. My pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. Spector.
Thank you, Dr. Messner. As mentioned, my name is Cassie, and I'm the Breast and Gynecological Cancers Program Coordinator and Oncology Social Worker at Cancer Care. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care have partnered together to ensure that people impacted by TNBC have access to free psychosocial services and support. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation Helpline, which is generously funded by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, provides callers with access to comprehensive services. These services include resource navigation, counseling, support groups, educational workshops, virtual community programs, including coping circles, publications, and limited financial assistance. By calling the TNBC helpline, individuals are connected with an oncology social worker who is aware of the physical, emotional, and practical challenges that may arise when diagnosed with TNBC or following treatment. There are many aspects of a TNBC diagnosis that can be addressed through psychosocial supportive services, including offering space to express one's feelings, emotions, and concerns related to recurrence. It's also possible that follow-up appointments or milestones may bring up many mixed emotions. It can be helpful to talk about fears related to recurrence and find techniques that can be useful for coping with your diagnosis. Some of those techniques were mentioned by Dr. Hurley, and it could be important to find new ways of coping and find ways that have been helpful for you in the past. Joining a support group can also be a way of connecting with others through By finding a support group, it can help reduce feelings of loneliness, help increase feelings of hope and empowerment. Through our partnership with Cancer Care and the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, we offer Triple Negative Breast Cancer Patient Support Group and a Triple Negative Breast Cancer Caregiver Support Group for those caring for a loved one with TNBC. These online support groups take place using a password-protected message board format and are led by oncology social workers who can offer support and guidance. Registration and the list of support groups can be found on Cancer Care's website, cancercare.org, and the TNBC-specific groups can also be found on the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation's website, which is tnbcfoundation.org. If you're interested in learning more about the support services the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care offer, I encourage you to call the TNBC helpline at 877-880-8622. We're here to offer support throughout this experience and looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for your attention and the opportunity to speak today. It's been a pleasure to be part of this program. I'll now turn it back to Dr. Messner. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Spector. That was a wonderful presentation, wonderful resources, and I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. And now we're going to move on to the Q&A, and I'm going to ask Regina to explain to all of you how to queue up the questions, and we're taking online questions only. Regina?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll take questions from the web only. You may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
So a question for Dr. Barot. I'm only 2 years out of diagnosis and finished with treatment. If the first 3 years have the highest probability of recurrence, why does my oncology team insist that my imaging is only done once per year? I was terrified at my sonogram mammo a few months ago since I had to wait an entire year since my previous mammo sonogram. Dr. Broad, if you could address that question.
Yes, thank you. That is a very important question. I think the reason why we recommend once a year mammogram is that there is a very fine balance between doing scans too often and exposing your body to that much radiation, which can cause problems, and trying to balance it with also trying to detect the breast cancer as early as we can. And data has shown that with that balance, the one-year mark is more than enough for most people to be able to catch the breast cancer in sufficient time, because we usually don't see breast cancer grow as quickly as something that you would be able to detect like by doing mammograms or MRIs of your breast more often than once a year. So it is a fine balance, and with the data, this is the happy medium that we have come to, that once a year should be more than enough to be able to detect it early without exposing you to unnecessary radiation and running the risks of false positives and multiple biopsies and follow-ups and procedures after. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So this is a question for actually Dr. Johns, Dr. Lorenzo, and Dr. Hurley. Does psychotherapy play a role in alleviating the trauma following triple negative breast cancer, especially in the case of a second infection? Dr. Johns, do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. I believe that psychotherapy can be very helpful in processing all of the emotional impact of everything that that this person has written in with their question. And there are certain evidence-based practices that can be offered to anyone who has dealt with some cancer-related trauma. And most of those practices have to do with building coping skills, many of the skills, you know, like we had heard about earlier in Dr. Hurley's talk, but also kind of, you know, giving alternatives to avoidant coping. Because most of us, when we face a trauma, we want to try to control the way we feel, and one of the ways that we do that is by trying to avoid, ignore, turn away from get away from, you know, the memories and the experiences that we had. But what we have found is that that avoidant coping tends to not only not work very well, but it tends to increase the, you know, the stickiness of the traumatic memories. So we try to give some really nice alternatives to some safe and actionable alternatives to some of that avoidant coping. And one of the things that we have found in the work that we do is really supporting people in clarifying what they truly want their life to be about, so that then they can take very specific actions in service of that while they learn how to cope with the understandable fear and the trauma. So.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Lorenzo?
Sure. So I'll maybe just add a couple things to what Dr. John said. First thing is, it is pretty clear from the evidence that psychotherapy can help with fear of cancer recurrence, and it's also clear that for some women, this is a trauma that triple negative breast cancer and the entire treatment process and all of the effects associated with it can be experienced as a trauma and therefore conceptualized as a form of post-traumatic stress or something akin to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And there are very good cancer psychologists that are available, and hopefully you have access to some at your local cancer center or at your at the hospital that you work at. And if you don't, they often have referrals for people in the community who are familiar with the literature and the approaches for dealing with helping patients like you deal with the sort of traumatic experience and the avoidance and fear that come along with the situation that you find yourself in. And the last thing I'll mention is a psychologist will also, or can also, a psychologist or counselor can help you with not just avoiding certain aspects of your life or anxiety-related emotions, but importantly, help you to identify what are the goals that you have for your life right now, moving forward and thinking forward. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to accomplish still? You know, where do you want to see yourself in the next 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years? And what can be done to help you move forward toward those really important life goals? And feeling like you can accomplish goals that are important in your life helps with the management of anxiety, because you're still moving toward desired outcomes. And as humans, that's an important life task, is to move toward the things that we want to get toward in life. And that can be very helpful, and psychologists can help you with that. And I'll stop there.
Oh, thank you so much. And Dr. Hurley.
Thank you so much. I'll just round that off by saying one of the main signs of trauma is having memories of either treatment or that moment of diagnosis popping into your head over and over when you don't mean to. So if that's a symptom that you're having, there are definitely a range of treatments that are available, and as Dr. Johns mentioned, you know, have a good evidence base to them. Trauma therapies can be pretty focused. We can get some symptom reduction in a relatively short amount of time. The caveat on that, or, you know, when I see someone for the first time, I take a history because there maybe have been other traumatic events that have happened in someone's life, either relatively recently or maybe going back as far as childhood, so that that traumatic reaction may have long roots to that, and that would change the kind of psychotherapy that I would propose to someone, and maybe, you know, our approach and the length of time that we spend in therapy. So that assessment is an important part to put the fear in context of other things that have happened.
Thank you so much. And Ms. Spector, could you comment on the role of support groups for people who are concerned about cancer recurrence?
Absolutely. I think it can be really helpful to connect with others through a support group. It can be really isolating to, especially being in your own thoughts and with the anxiety that comes with the thought of recurrence. So by joining a support group, you can connect with others who have those same fears, who have those same anxieties, and be able to help normalize that feeling that you're having. I know a lot of times when I speak with patients, they feel like these are thoughts that no one else is having. So being able to connect with others through a support group can really help you build that connection, find a sense of community, and really understand what are some other coping skills that people are using, what are things that are helping others, and in turn, you can be able to learn different coping skills that may help you, or just being able to provide other support can give you a sense of purpose too, and really find that sense of connection with others. Because I know a lot of times people share that people in their life may not necessarily understand what they're feeling. So by connecting in a support group, you're in a group of people who really do understand what you're experiencing, and you're able to communicate to people who understand that. And it can be helpful to find a post-treatment support group. I know at Cancer Care we do have an online message board group that's a breast cancer post-treatment group. So it can be helpful to find that post-treatment group, but you also can find those connections in any type of support group as well.
Thank you so much. And I just want to let you know that our next Triple Negative Breast Cancer program is on October 16th. Triple Negative Breast Cancer in African American Women. And I'm going to ask our speakers just to provide a quick takeaway for all of our participants from today's program. I'm going to start with Dr. Barote, then Dr. Johns, then Dr. Lorenzo, Dr. Hurley, and then Ms. Spector. So Dr. Barote?
I think the key takeaway from my end would be that even though having triple negative breast cancer the numbers that usually people see online can be very scary. Just know that every day there is more and more advances, and we are getting closer and closer to getting to the best chance of preventing this from coming back. But despite that, recurrence is an unfortunate reality for triple negative breast cancer, and having a fear of recurrence is very normal and very common after you are done with treatment. So please talk to your providers and reach out for additional resources whenever you undergo that fear or that anxiety related to the breast cancer coming back, because there are tools and support services that can help you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. And Dr. Johns? Your takeaway?
Yes. So in addition to all of the wonderful things that we just heard there, I did want to say I invite people to use their fear of recurrence to their advantage, because one of the upsides of fear of recurrence is that it can be a motivator for us sometimes. It can motivate healthy lifestyle approaches that can possibly help reduce risk of recurrence. So I just invite all of the survivors and the family caregivers or co-survivors to find creative and psychologically flexible ways to use that fear of recurrence to advantage.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And Dr. Lorenzo?
Sure. Perhaps just a couple things to add to the great advice and tips and insights that have already been provided. A couple of takeaways that I think might be important. One is be proactive. Proactivity is an important trait for you to have when it comes to dealing with your health and healthcare. So proactivity is going to help you get access to the resources and get your needs met. And so you know, that may not be something that you're used to doing or being that is proactive, but I've observed that the patients who are the most proactive are the ones who feel like they have the most control that is possible over what their future can be. So proactivity is important. And then the other thing I will say that I think is also very important is making sure that you communicate your concerns and worries and fears to, you know, your close others in your life and take advantage of that social support that is often available and try to tap into that. And these folks can be there to help you not only potentially help you manage and deal with the fear of cancer recurrence, but also be available to help you get the most out of the healthcare options that you have when you go for follow-up exams or when you go for yearly check-ins or every 6 months check-ins with your healthcare team. And I'll stop there.
Oh, thank you so much. And Dr. Hurley?
Yes, what I'd like to add to all the great comments is that learning to tend to your fear of recurrence is a process. It's one that takes time. It does take experimenting and learning what works for you. And that because some triggers you can't avoid, such as going back to the doctor's office or the pink ribbons that we will all be, at least in the U.S., be seeing relatively soon, that our goal is maybe it's not realistic to say that you'll never feel fear, but maybe over time it will not spike as high, that episodes of fear will get further apart and they won't last as long. And so as you continue to work with learning what works for you, that you'll notice this gradual shift in your experience of living with the possibility and tending to the possibility of cancer recurrence.
Thank you so much. And Ms. Spector?
Thank you. And to add to what everyone's shared so far, I know it can be really scary and nerve-wracking when you're not seeing your medical team as often, but don't hesitate to reach out to your medical team, even if you're not seeing them as often, and reach out for that support. There are still organizations that are there for you, even post-treatment. So just know that there is support available and you're not alone, and to reach out to support when you need it.
Well, thank you. I want to thank our speakers. You've been phenomenal. I want to thank our participants as well for the wonderful questions you asked. I know you had many more questions. We couldn't take all your questions. We only could take some. But I do want to comment about the questions. So for those of you who were able to ask a question, and for those of you who have a question yet in queue, and for those who are thinking of another question, please take your questions to your treating healthcare team. They do know you the best. They have your medical records and all the details about you, and they are a great resource for all of you. Also, just really take advantage of your healthcare team. Also, with your healthcare team, find out when they're there in terms of what the coverage is like on weekends, holidays, and holidays and and special times of the year, like special like New Year's and Thanksgiving and Christmas, but these major holidays, find out when who's on call, so who you can call if something happens, because it does seem like things always come up at those times. I do want to thank you all for your participation today. Please do be aware that you have both the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care as resources, and please take advantage of them. And again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone have a great day.